this evening. It feels good to feel God in his house. Good to be home tonight. And I'm glad to be back. Amen. I had a wonderful weekend in Natchez, Mississippi. And the Lord really blessed. And we had a great move of the Holy Ghost. And I said, God, you can do it right here too. Amen. Praise God. And God wants to. And I appreciate Brother Schubert being with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. Amen. Oh, thank God for that. Amen. The good word of the Lord. Amen. We want to go to the book of Psalm. And, you know, when the Lord speaks to you early in the morning, and you said, but God, I could quote that scripture and everybody else could quote it. And we often talk from it. But the Lord said, go to it. And you can't get enough of the word of the Lord. Amen. And so I want to go to Psalm, the first chapter today. Psalm chapter 1. And many of you probably could quote it, but that's okay. Brother Savali, good to see you home tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm, the first chapter. Amen. How many of you could quote it? Yeah. There's a lot of you could quote it. But let's just read it together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are you glad that the Lord knows the way of the righteous? He knows. Amen. Everybody said he knows. He knows the way of the righteous, and he knows the way of the ungodly. Amen. But we're going to talk from the word of the Lord tonight. I want you to put your Bible down for a moment, and I want you to pray with me right now that God would minister tonight in this place. Amen. God would help us. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the joy to live for you today, God. The grace and the power that you give, God, that makes a difference in us. We thank you for the assurance to live, Lord, in the precepts of your word. I praise you. I love you. And I thank you tonight, God, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Keep your Bible open with me. And we want to keep Psalm chapter 1 there. Verse 1, we'll go back to it in just a moment. But let me say this. I pray that some of you have joined with us in consecration. We're consecrating different things in our life that we could say, I choose not to do this, or choose not to drink this, eat this. And sometimes we just got to make consecration. There's some people irreverently begin to say, well, that's just a diet choice. And I'm going to tell you, but when you do it for God, and it means something that matters to you. For myself, I'm not just trying to boast, but I always like first thing in the morning drink a cup of coffee. And I normally drink 2 cups of coffee a day. And when the Lord began to deal with me, to put it away. And I've done it, and I'm consecrated. And I consecrate that time, and I enjoy. Many times here at the church, just need something fizzy, and I'd get a Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet Coke. And now, I said, nope, no more of that. Plus my prayer time. I was getting up at a certain time. The Lord impressed me. I said, but Lord, I hadn't been eating bread. I hadn't been eating sweets. You know, that's been a dietary decision. But I said, God, what else can I do? And I felt the Lord said, why don't you get up a little bit earlier, an hour earlier, and pray more? And have more time and devotion. And I want to tell you the difference. The difference has been amazing. The clarity in the Holy Ghost. At first, it was a little struggle, a little temptation, getting up at, you know, that time and trying to combat, trying to stay awake. But what the joy of the Lord comes through, amen, whenever you begin to say, God, this time is for you. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. How beautiful it is. He sees the sacrifices. Little bitty things, such as a cup of coffee, can control a lot of things in your life. And we're not talking bad against it, but when something means a lot to me and something matters to me every day, and I say, God, you mean more to me than that. How wonderful it is to me. Amen. To the foolish mocker on the outside, they would look and say, you know, that's silly and that's foolish. But oh, when you do it for the King of Kings, it matters. Amen. Are you thankful for the things of God? Amen. The book of Psalm, this is a song, and it's talking about the blessed man, and it begins to, it's very symbolic of a replanted relationship with God. We were, in the beginning, mankind were in relationship with the Almighty God, but sin destroyed that relationship that God and man had, that oneness. Oneness was destroyed between humanity and the Almighty God. Man was the master of God's creation. The very apex of creation was man. But sin comes in, and sin will destroy a relationship. I want to tell you, adultery still destroys homes. Lying still destroys people's lives and reputation. Sin is a destructive agent. And from the very beginning, it separated man's relationship with God. They no longer had that oneness. They no longer had that togetherness. They no longer had that relationship. But the first psalm that we read is symbolic of a replanted relationship with the Almighty God. How it's like a tree that has been replanted that brings forth fresh fruit in its season or every month. And it never drops a leaf. And it's always in blossom. You know what I want in my life? I want consistency. I want that constancy, consistency in my life. I want the blessings of God not to be something I get occasionally, but I want it to continue to flow in my life. I want those rivers to water me. I want the glory of the Holy Ghost to bless me. Amen. Then it greatly contrasts the ungodly or the unrighteous by its mannerism of, it shows by the way they live and the way they conduct themselves. In regards to the righteous man, it shows a total difference about a vibrant relationship with the Almighty God and a strong resolution to oppose anything that associates itself with compromise. Anything that says you're going to go against this, and if God favors something, you're going to favor it. If God hates it, you're going to hate it. Amen. And that's what this psalm is talking about. Thus, it characterizes an outcome that is demonstrated by a life that is fruitful and blessed by the divine power of God. I want to talk to us tonight about that key component of that blessed person. That key component is he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of the Lord. And we're going to get to the subject and the title in just a moment. But this key component in the first psalm is something that's going throughout the Word of God. When you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, there is something about your relationship with the Almighty God, that oneness that you have with the Almighty. How beautiful it is when you love God, when you delight, enjoy the things of God. You enjoy worshiping Him, and prayer becomes an enjoyment. You're moving somewhere. Amen. I want to tell you, the devil wants to come in and begin to make living for God a dull, drab, a thing that's no longer enjoyable. And that's just what the devil wants to flavor with. In a time that you begin to feel that living for God becomes dull, something is wrong with your senses and your value system. Remember, the devil does a good job of dulling your senses. And the devil does a good job of stealing your value system. Anyway, the precept, the component of that blessed person is to delight in the law of the Lord. And the scripture says, and in the law you meditate day and night. In other words, you think about it all the time. It's forever on your mind, the things of God. The things of God are priority to you. Amen. And that's this alignment of your value with God's value is amazing. When you start getting yourself in tune with God. Sister Benton oftentimes at the jail will tell a little story. She says that there was a shepherd that was way far away from everything else, away from civilization. Only thing he had was a bunch of sheep and his violin. And he wrote to a radio program years ago, and he asked them, would you play A-flat over the radio? Because I have nobody around. I want to tune my violin. And they played that so he could tune his violin. I want to say, I want to hear that certain sound from God that I could be tuned. I want the airwaves of the Word of God to give me something to tune my life and adjust my ways and begin to align myself to the Word of God. I don't care how lonely you are, how desperate you are, the Word of God is still the agent that we line up with. I don't care how much friends we've got. I don't care how much associates we've got. I still got to keep myself unspotted from the world. Amen. Hear me tonight. Love is what lines us up when you love God. And when you love God, you're going to start rejecting some things. You're going to start emptying some things out of your life. And that alignment, it may cost you some things, but the cost is worth every price that you have to pay. I want to tell you, when you start living for God, there's people on the outside will look at you and say, man, why are you doing that? When a man opens up a whiskey bottle and he turns it over in the commode and empties that expensive whiskey or wine and flushes it down. When somebody takes expensive drugs and they take it to the toilet and flush it down, there is something that matters to them. They're not doing it to escape a conviction or escape the law or begin where they won't get caught. They're doing it because there is a greater sense of value in their life. I want that kind of value in my relationship with God that tells me no to sin. Somebody say amen. I love it when somebody came one time and they said, Pastor, I just bought a whole carton of cigarettes. And I asked him back in those days, how much is a carton of cigarettes? And back in those days, it was $35. And they said, I took a whole carton of cigarettes. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And I took that carton and I took it and I had a barbecue grill. And I dumped it inside of its container on that grill and burned it up. And it went up in smoke. And I thought, that was all my money. But the years those cigarettes had controlled me, and to the next door neighbor or to the person or to a relative or even to a friend, they would look at him like, man, you're crazy. But when you do it for God and God begins to deal with you about something, it is well worth saying yes to God. Amen. You know that the victory of God comes when man learns to yield and surrender to God. If you never surrender and yield yourself to God, you'll never know the priceless victory of God. That's the reason why even when we're young, we need to learn to yield ourselves to God. Young people in this place, a yielded person that learns to yield to the Holy Ghost will be a person that becomes strong. You're not a weakling living for God. Amen. You're not a foolish person learning to yield to the Holy Ghost. And by all means, when you yield to God, you're going to say no to something. There's going to be a yield to God and a resistance to something else. Anytime you say yes to God means you're saying no to something else. You're going to say no to ungodliness. Didn't the Bible says that the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live righteously and holy, soberly in this present age? Amen. When you say the yes to God, it's amazing. God will give you resilience and God will give you a big no against the things of the world. Things that will cost your relationship with God. You're going to put it aside and say, it's not worth having in my life anymore. It's not worth me drinking from this or participating in this. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I want you to notice that blessed man, he delights in the law of the Lord. He loves the things of God. Now, there's some people, they love the touch of God. And we'll just let me insert this today. Is it possible for us to repent? And there's a difference between just coming and coming and bringing our sorrow, our sin. And there's a lot of people that come and they confess, but they really don't turn themselves completely to God. You know, repentance is returning to God. That's what repentance means. A lot of people turn over their sin, their products, they turn over all their inconsistencies and the muck in their life, the mire in their life, but they never turn themselves into God. We need to return to God. Psalm, first chapter, that was a symbolic thing of replacing a relationship in your life with the Almighty God. So we're going to look at this. I want you to notice the choice of the blessed man in Psalm chapter 1. Brother Brent and Brother Carson just walked in. Y'all remember quoting Psalm chapter 1, Carson? You probably could quote it. Brent, blessed is the man that walketh. Well, you remember it though, right? And there's something about that blessed man and his choices. And God blesses those that would take the sword and draw the line in the sand and says, no longer am I going to do this. God loves it, somebody that would take a stand and make a choice. Now, notice in his choice, there is a refusal, a resistance, and an opposing to the things of wickedness. The Bible says that in Psalm 1, the blessed man, right off the bat, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I want you to notice he starts off walking, then he starts off standing, and he goes to sitting. We'll look at that in just a moment. But the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What does counsel of the ungodly mean, Pastor? It means the advice. The word counsel here is the advice. We do not follow the advice of those that are ungodly. We refuse ungodly counsel. We do not accept the voices, the vibes, and the views of those that oppose the Word of God. The voices. There's a lot of voices that will try to encourage you and tell you it's okay to do this when God's Word tells you no. The enemy is a master of voices that will come in your head. And the enemy loves to use people to give voices against the things of God. So the Bible says here, the blessed man is the one that doesn't walk in the voice and the vibes and the views of somebody that opposes the things of God. Now the things of God could be the Word of God, the ways of God, and the authority of God in your life. Do you know that you will not be saved without your pastor? And if your pastor is teaching something and somebody comes, Paul said, number one, Paul said, follow me as I follow the word. And many times your shepherd begins to see danger in this area and he begins to draw a line and says, listen, church, let's not go that direction. There are a lot of people that will ridicule. There's a lot of people that will say, you know, that don't matter. You know, but the blessed man, the Bible says, does not pay attention to the voices, the vibes, and the views of the ungodly. They're going to follow the word of the Lord. The word of God matters. The authority of God matters. The way of God matters. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that God's word is eternal. Amen. So, they do not accept those things. Neither do they tune to the rhetoric of the unrighteous, the persuasiveness. There's some people that are persuasive. You remember Delilah said, oh, Samson, listen to the rhetoric. Samson, where's your strength? It's not going to hurt you. Let your hair down. Brother Savala, the Lord spoke to me the other day about people. We say, let your hair down to be at ease. In the Bible times, when you had a Nazirite vow, they didn't just have a big old long string of hair hanging down. That man did not wear hair hanging down like that, like you think. They would set it up in a certain manner, seven locks, etc. They would put together. But Delilah, in essence, says, why don't you let your hair down and just tell me? Don't ever let your covenant down with God. Don't ever stop and let yourself down. And remember, you got a covenant, your connection with the Almighty God. You're not your own, saint of God, but you've been bought with a price. You are peculiar people. You peculiar don't mean that you're a stick in the mud. It means that you are a tree planted by the rivers of water. You are God. You belong to God, Nina. You belong to the King of Kings. You do not belong to this world. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. How beautiful to know that. That God has interest in you. And God has things for you. And, you know, pretty soon these voices come. Ungodly advice. Why is it somebody always has the view that says, I don't see anything wrong with that? You know the reason why they don't see anything wrong with it? Because they said it right. They don't see. They spiritually are blind. And the Bible says the blind leadeth who? Say it. The blind leads who? The blind. Isn't it crazy when you begin to listen to the blind advice of people that say, I don't see anything wrong with that. And, hey, they don't see. Hey, we need to be conscious of the Spirit of God, conscious of the law of God, conscious of the Word of God. And we need to know them that comes amongst us with a voice that opposes God. Amen. I want the Word of God. It still matters, folks. This book still matters. Praise God. So the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, neither does he stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Now, that doesn't mean he's standing and blocking sinners. No. In other words, he does not have a sense of compliancy or agreement with sinners. He's not in that stand with them. He's not standing for what they stand for, in other words. He has a definite difference and a different conclusion and a different direction and a different value than the sinners. Amen. And he has no participation according to their part or their ways. Hear me well, son of God. Amen. There's a lot of people that want you to agree with them. I'm thankful today that I am so thankful that I could agree with the things of God. Amen. And there's a wrestling of thoughts sometimes. You got to wrestle it and bring every thought into what? The obedience of Christ. There's some stubborn things that will come across your mind. But if the Word of God teaches us something, the Word of God teaches, don't let your eye look that way. Don't let your tongue speak of those things. Don't let your ear be tuned to these things. We need to wrestle every thought into the obedience of Christ. Sometimes it's a wrestling match, but it's a glorious victory when we learn to do this. Yes, yes. Amen. It's glorious. We don't stand in the way of sinners. In agreement, in their deal, we don't participate. But I'm so thankful that we could walk with God. The blessed man is who we're talking about. The key component is he loves God. And he didn't want anything to compromise his love or take his love away from God or his devotion from God. The next one, the third part is, the blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he doesn't position himself with those who scoffs, belittles, ridicules, and dishonors the things of God. I know there's been people in my life that has pulled me aside before, and they begin to belittle the things of God. And they begin to talk, and oh, they had a good argument. That's all it was, an argument. I want to tell you, in the Word of God, it's no argument. We got to live for God. We got to be for God. It should be no argument. And in other words, the blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He does not hang around with those that cut down, cut at, or cut up in a derogatory manner against the sacred. There's some people that mock. There's some people cut down. And there's some people cut at those that make attempts to be something sacred in their life. Let me just say this. I don't know who I was speaking to. I was speaking to somebody just recently, and a profound bit of wisdom came out of my mouth that amazed me. And I know it was of the Lord because of the way it was. And they were talking about friends in their life. They were talking about acquaintances and associates in their life. And this is what I said that came out of my mouth. Are your friends like dominoes or Legos? Dominoes when you're stacked with them, their influence will cause you to fall. The domino effect. But the Lego type of friend is going to build you up. The domino friend keeps knocking you down and is a poor person for you. Hear me today. If your friend is a domino, always knocking you down spiritually, always costing you, always begin to bring up something and cause you to participate in it, your friend is not too good for you. Your friend needs to bow at an altar and to replace themselves back in the purpose of God. Align themselves. Is your friend's dominoes or are they Legos? Are they one that builds you up? Are they strong for you whenever there's weakness present? Are they the one that always laughing? Oh, it's okay to listen to this nasty music. It's okay to tune into this. It's okay. It's all right. And pretty soon you're singing it with them and you're jiving with them. Don't you know that's dominoes? Ill influence? When the Word of God teaches us, we don't set our eye before wicked things and we don't tune into the wicked things of the world. Well, Pastor, you're just picking on things. No, I'm not. I'm telling somebody today, we need to have the sense to draw the line in our life. Watch who you hang with. They may hang you. Mm-hmm. Watch who you hang with. Your association. The blessed man knows those who hang with them. Those that are his real friends are like Legos. They help build him up and edify him. Somebody say amen. There's been a lot of poison that is through peer pressure and friend pressure. Good friends get together and hang each other. God help us that we have some strength in this hour. That we begin to look to God and know, amen, God, I need you. I need you, God, to help me to have resistance. Amen. I want you to understand that the blessed man, it begins to recognize these things. And the wickedness that was talked about walketh, standeth, and sitteth. One minute, walking. Next minute, they're stopping and standing. Next minute, they're sitting. It don't take you long for a declination or declining. To where there's no longer movement. And when you start sitting, the enemy knows how to bind you. The enemy knows how to bring you down. The enemy knows how to come against you. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. But the righteous person's joy is pleasing the Almighty God. I mean, don't come to try to get my joy. Don't try to knock my light out. I want my light to shine. I want the joy of the Holy Ghost inside of my life. I want there to be something inside of me. So tonight, the title of this, and believe me, I'm almost in the end of what I need to talk about tonight. And I bring my title. It's called The Resilience of the Righteous. The Resilience of the Righteous. That word resilience is the ability not just to recover real quick. When you have resilience in your physical body and you get sick, you recover real quickly. And resilience is a toughness, but it's a strength to cope and a strength to respond to life challenges. That's the definition that is the general definition. But the spiritual definition of resilience is the ability to sustain one's senses of self and purpose and belief and principles and values when you encounter adversity. The ability not to compromise when you're blown by every wind like that tree planted by the rivers of the water. Believe me, there's going to be winds that blow. Remember, the house on the rock and the house on the sand had a storm. Same storm, probably. But the house that was built on the rock stood. I want to tell you what the rock is. The rock is the eternal foundation of the Word of God. Amen. Every young lady in this place, I'm going to tell you, the enemy wants you to compromise your life. Every lady in this place, I don't care how old you may be. I don't care if you're a great-grandma. The enemy wants you to compromise your relationship and your testimony. We talk to our young ladies, but I'm talking to every lady in this place. Amen. Oh, when a pastor calls you, he's upset because of a 70-year-old Sunday school teacher that has been in his church for many years. During COVID, they quit going to church, and at home, she gets online, and pretty soon, she's off with a 51-year-old man. Next Thanksgiving, guess what happens? Her husband, her children, her grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are sitting around the Thanksgiving table weeping because of the foolishness of a grandmother who ran off with a man. Do you think that young man was going to keep that old woman? He had a little money, so he bought her a nice sports car. But when they split up, guess what happened? He had the title to it, and she had nothing. Her Social Security check had been changed over, all kind of things. And pretty soon, she was on the street. What a sad situation for this woman to go to her grave, out of her family picture, where her kids are wringing their hands. Grandkids are ashamed of mama. Thank God for the mercies of a husband that finally found her and said, hey, I don't have to, but I'm going to move you back in here. And he set the boundary and he said, listen, this is the way it's going to be. We will have no internet in my home. You will have no phone with data. We can't afford it. Sometimes when you see a weakness, you better build a wall there. Why is it that people would automatically say, well, that's crazy. Why would you restrict her? Because of an extreme weakness. If you keep tripping over the same thing, that means you got a weakness there. And many times in life, we don't see that. We don't understand that. But oh, we stand up and we shake our fists at it and said, that's uncalled for. Friend, it is called for. When we need the strength of something to help us to stand, we need some resilience. But the resilience of the righteous is this, having the strength to say, I'm not participating, to walk out. The resilience of the righteous is this, where you excuse yourself because you say, I'm not going to do this. Amen. I was in a vehicle as a young man, a pastor's son I would ride to school with, and he would be on the platform. He was very frequent. He would sing. He would play the drums. And on the way to school, the first week, every day, he turned on WFMF, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a rock and roll station all the way to school. And when we got to school, we had prayer meeting. And we had chapel service. You know who spoke at the first chapel service? This kid. I mean, he was older than me. And it always jabbed at my heart. It always made me sick in my stomach. And one day, we got in the car, he was taking us to school, and he turned on WFMF, and I mean, that morning, there was the DJs, there were several of them, they would get together, and they would have rhetoric, and they'd throw in some filthy talk and all this, and laugh about it, and all of a sudden, I looked at him, and I said, I almost called his name, I said, man, can you please turn that mess off? I said, it grieves me, it hurts me. And I finally spoke up, and he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, what are you doing, judging me? Oh, yes, I am judging you. And I have a right to judge somebody. Yeah. Man, people scratch. Izzy, you scratching your head. That gives me something to preach about. I'm picking. You know, when you go to a cattle auction, if you scratch your head, you just bought a cow. I'm picking. Let me just say this. Amen. There comes a time that you need to make a stand. You begin to say, I will not be part of this. And I'm so thankful that I did. Hey, the boy never changed his ways, but I'm thankful that I stood up and said, I'm not going to do this. Pretty soon we quit riding with him. You know where he's at now? He's on wife, let's see. Four. Wife number four. And he left his wife after they had a little child that died of cancer. His wife was grieving and had all kind of, instead of being there strong for his wife, he was messing around on his wife. He left his wife. He married another one. And you would think, man, whoo. And he went to a charismatic church. And the big deal was there, when you became part of the ministry staff, you got your Judah tattoo. Tattoo of a lion. Praise. He got his Judah tattoo. And he was part of the ministry staff. But pretty soon, he had another woman. He found one that he was raised with, raised the same way. And today, he's married to another preacher's wife, a preacher's daughter, who's charismatic. And he walks up to me one day, and, hey, Brother Crosswhite. And I just look at him. Hey, I was kind, I was polite. But I want to tell you, amen, I cannot say hi, brother, back. Amen, because, amen, oh, his life, I want him to be saved. But, friend, you've got to repent of sin. You've got to have resilience in your life. You can't just pretend. You can't bluff your way to heaven. You may fool me, but you will not fool God. Spiritual resilience. You know, and it's being clear about your why and the meaning of your life. Don't you know God sees it? God sees the righteous and he sees the unrighteous in this passage of Scripture. And result is, we've got to have a daily relationship with God. I don't know where it drifted into Pentecost that if you can speak in tongues, that means you're okay. I don't know where that come in at. Just because you speak in tongues, the Bible says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I have not a love for God, that charity is not giving money to the poor only, but that word charity is to give God you, to give yourself to the kingdom of God. You can speak in tongues like whatever, but if you don't have a relationship and a love and a delight of God, your tongues are worthless. Isn't that true? How would you like somebody always jabbering in tongues? And they live like the dog. They leaned on the jukebox. They drank the suds. And ran around. But yet they spoke in tongues. That don't give them anointing. I don't care how much. What the world calls anointing is not what the word calls anointing. The anointing of the word of God is those that have resilience. Those that have the strength to say no to something. And that have the power, amen, when the enemy comes against you, that you bounce back and say, I will not allow this in my life. It results in a daily relationship that you build and you keep in tune with the word of God. It's a heart attitude. The heart attitude of the righteous is this: I will be confident that God knows my heart at all times. He sees past the charades, past the put-ons, and past the parades. He knows, he sees, and he's God. But he wants me to do something in regards to me knowing that. He knows those that obey his voice, his word, and his spirit. I want to tell you, there's only one choice. It's Almighty God. The bottom line of Psalm chapter 1 is the contrast and the outcomes of each. The righteous, look at the outcome: fruitful, consistent tree. The ungodly, like a chaff. You have ate popcorn, they got that little hull in that popcorn, just like that little film in that popcorn bed is easy blown away. The righteous like a fruitful tree, the ungodly like a chaff that the wind is blown away. The righteous planted by rivers, but the ungodly taken by the wind. The righteous, unwithering leaves. The ungodly, they shall not stand unpunished. In the judgment, they shall not stand in the judgment. That means they're not going to get the blessings of God in the end. That judgment there is where God gives the rewards and awards for those that keep his faith, live for him. They're not going to stand there. They're going to get what they deserve. The righteous has a prosperous outcome. Whatever he does, prospers. But the ungodly is not found a part of anything of God's. It's crazy. It's sad. I know people that should be in tune with God. God wants to use your life. God wants you to be a blessed person. And in the end, I want to ask a few questions. Do you allow opposing voices to influence you? Vibes, views of people that oppose the things of God? Do you allow them to challenge your relationship and cash in your value system? Do you allow your friends that you hang out with to steer your conversation? It's sad. I went with a group of preachers one time. It's been about 12, 15 years ago. And they kept on making little funny remarks. And I go, "Man, what are y'all talking about?" And they said, "Oh, that's a quote from this movie." Now, this is a time when the United Pentecostal Church had a deal where you signed that said you will not have a TV. Every one of them were leaders that I was with. And every one of them, with exception of maybe about three of them, all knew about this movie. And they kept on referring to it. I want you to say this. We have no business amongst the associations of the unholy and things that are not sacred. Isn't it crazy? I mean, they shouldn't even brought that up. But that's all they had to talk about and laugh about. Friend, there's better things to laugh about than silliness, profanity. My next question. Is your consecration reduced to shame by the actions that you get involved with and the people that in your circle? Very quickly, the people in your circle could reduce you down, reduce your relationship with God down. Is counsel, advice, or conversation in your group allowed to go against the standards, the laws, the things of God, the principles of the Word of God? Is there somebody encouraging you to say, "Oh, it don't matter," when it does matter? The Word of God does matter. The Word of God does matter. His love for God, the blessed man, his love for God and the things of God, he cherishes us. My next question, are convictions diminished and the things of God unplugged and thinking, "I'll get it back"? There's some things you'll never get back when you let them go. There's some things that are sacred while you're young and pure that once you unplug from them, you'll never regain. You can't unpickle a pickle. That's a fact. Purity, virginity, can never be brought back. I deal with inmates. Brother Zach deal with them today. Inmates that are so vain, so vile. But most of them, if you ask them, somewhere when they were a little boy, a little girl, somebody violated. And they have tried to find purity and acceptance and to find love and values in life. Do they themselves become a monster on the inside? Every day they have to deal with it and deal with it and deal with it because somebody violated their life. I want to thank God for Calvary tonight, that Jesus Christ will wash away my sins and give me the power to live in a wicked world, a power, amen, to walk in Him, a beauty in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hear me. The outcome matters. And the outcome of the blessed man mattered here because he kept himself in God. And the outcome of the unrighteous is so sad because both of them had the same opportunity. We mention it. On my desk is a little sticky note that says this. The fear of God. True fear is not being so scared of Him as much as being terrified without Him. I'm terrified not to have God. When I get behind the wheel of my car, I'm terrified. I'm not afraid that if something happens, I'm terrified that I will not have God. I want Jesus to be aboard my life. I don't want the Lord to be left. Well, other night I spoke in tongues in church, and that's been 3 days ago. No, I want to have a relationship every day with God. I want to be ready to meet God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Would you place that up there? I want to end closing. This goes for everybody. I'm not picking on one group. I'm not beginning to talk just to young people. And I'm not talking to our elders. I'm talking to us. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, these things command and what? Next one. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of who? How? In word? In your love? In spirit? In what? Purity. 13. Till I come, give attendance to what? To exhortation, building up. And to what? Next verse. Neglect not the gift in thee. You can neglect the gift of God. How do you neglect it? You quench the spirit. You don't feed the spirit of God. You don't feed the fire of God in your life. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying of the hands of the presbytery or the elders. Paul's writing to Timothy. Read on. Next verse. Meditate on these things. Give thyself halfly to them. Give thyself just a wee little bit to them. Give thyself completely, wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to... I want to be a Lego. How about you? I want to be a Lego. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. Pay attention to yourself. And unto the doctrine. Continue in them, that thou shalt both save thyself and who else? Them that hear thee. In other words, keep a firm grip on your character and on the teaching, because it'll save you. I got to be saved. The resilience of the righteous. You will start bouncing back in victory when you learn to let God have your number one in your life, that one number one spot, when you delight in the ways of God. I hate what's going on in the lives of so many people. They're making it hard to live for God, and they're telling you that, oh, it's too hard. Brother Crossway, you're just too, I hate that spirit. I'm in Vicksburg, an early morning prayer. Guess what? I hit that spirit. As a pastor, sometimes it takes a pastor getting away to get to feel something, to get a yearning. I couldn't wait to get back home, because the Lord has impressed me to talk to us. We need to love the things of God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Don't despise God or His Word or God's people. The line that is drawn, the fence that is built, and the wall that is built, you need to thank God for. Amen. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Stand with me tonight. The resilience of the righteous.